This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Morning to you all, radio listeners. Good morning, Hawke's Bay, and welcome again to another edition of this program called the Early Bird Gospel Program. Coming to you live from right here in Hastings, 104.7 FM, 1431 AM. Otherwise, if you're listening online on www.hawkesbayradio.co.nz. And a very good morning to you all if you're just waking up. Or if you just decided to lie in bed and just tuning in, thank you and good morning to you all.
A very good morning to our listeners this morning. We're so pleased to be here and to be a blessing to you this morning. So welcome. If you're traveling from anywhere, from point A to point B, we pray a special blessing on you. We know some people that's going to travel this morning, Kiasi,
yes.
Our very own pathfinders. So a shout out to all of you, and we pray that you have safe travel mercies as you head to Palmerston. God bless and good morning, everyone, again.
Yes, good morning to everyone, dear listeners. And I know it's very quite cold outside, but I'm sure that our hearts is always warm this morning. So I can start now with our devotional this morning. And this morning I'd like to share to you about that word giving. Giving, whether of time, resources, or compassion, is a powerful act of profound benefits for both the giver and the recipient. It fosters a sense of community, strengthens relationships, and can lead to personal fulfillment and even spiritual growth. Giving can also address social issues and demonstrate love and compassion for others. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "You shall open your hand wide." Well, God instructed the Israelites, "If there is among you a poor man, you shall open your hand wide to him." Giving is the loftiest level of living. Generous people focus their time and effort on what they can give to others, not what they can get from them. And the more you give, the better your attitude becomes. Many people don't understand this concept. They think the amount you possess determines the amount you should share. It's not what you have that matters. It's what you do with what you have. And that is determined by your attitude. A famous saying puts it this way: we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And serving others is something you can start doing today. Whether it means spending more time with your family, mentoring an employee who shows potential, helping people in your church or community, it's about putting your own desires on hold to bless someone else. The Bible says, "Be fair and give justice to the poor and homeless." That is in the books of Proverbs 31, verse 9. The only way to maintain an attitude of generosity is to make a habit of giving of your time, attentiveness, money, and resources. Author Richard Foster says, "Just the very act of letting go of money or some other treasure does something within us. It destroys the demon of greed." Think about what you're already giving, what you've been asked to give, and what you would like to give. Your reasons for granting or denying a request for financial help may be valid, but are they godly? Think about how it feels when you give, and let that be your guide. So there are really benefits. There are quite certain benefits of being a giver. The first one is personal fulfillment. Giving can bring a sense of joy, purpose, and satisfaction. Second one, spiritual growth. Many faith traditions teach that giving aligns one with God's purpose and can lead to blessings. The third one, strengthen relationships. Giving can build trust, deepen connections, and foster a sense of community. And the last one, positive impact. When we give, we have the opportunity to make a tangible, positive impact on the lives of others. So, what are the key principles of giving? The first one, give cheerfully. Biblical teachings say God loves a cheerful giver, and giving should be a joyful act, not a grudging one. Second, give from your heart. Giving should be motivated by love and compassion, not obligation or a desire for personal gain. Third one, give generously. Consider giving not just what is comfortable, but what will make a meaningful difference. The fourth one, give in faith. Trust that giving will be rewarded, not necessarily in material ways, but in spiritual and emotional ways. And the last one, give as an investment. Consider the long-term impact of your giving, both on yourself and on others. So, in conclusion, be generous. So this time I'd like you to listen to a singer. His name is Daniel O'Donnell, and he's an Irishman. His singing, the title is "Give a Little Love."
sometimes hard to see that life is made up of a harsh reality, but the world is real and the badness won't fade away. And there are so many who need our love today.
Thank you, Rosemary, for that morning devotion about giving. Giving is such a very important thing. Have you given something this week, dear radio listeners? I enjoy the words on that song. Give a little love, show them that you care, let them know that you are there. There may be people out there that needs your love, that needs... giving is not always giving something. You can always give your time. You know, tell them that you're there to give comfort and peace. There are so many people out there that needs your love, radio listeners.
Man, I love the text and the story behind what Rosemary shared with our devotion this morning, and even what you shared, Kiasi. And it's true, you know, the more you give, the better you become at it. All right, if you don't give, you'll never know that feeling of generosity, like you said. The words of the song that I caught at the back there, it doesn't take much, like you said. Everybody needs a little love. But it takes just a little. It takes just a little. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? All right? We think it has to be good, big measures. And generosity must be what people see you give, you know? But the song says, all it takes is just a little.
Amen. I'm being reminded by Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, the saying God loves a cheerful giver comes from the Bible, especially in this verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It emphasizes that God values the heart and the attitude behind giving. You know, the attitude behind giving that gift or giving those time to your neighbor. Not just the act of giving itself. The passage encourages giving freely and joyfully rather than begrudging or under compulsion. Or you're under pressure to give. Give from within.
Yeah, giving from your heart.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the attitude.
With joy.
Yeah, that should be our attitude.
Thank you, radio listeners. Good morning again. Thank you for joining us, the Early Bird Gospel Program. This morning we will explore further about this word, faith. It's such a big word, a lot of meaning to it. What faith have you got? I remember just this week I was listening to the sports news, and there's a rugby team in New Zealand called the Warriors. And one of their motto is faith. It's just a matter of faith. They go out there and play. With faith, they can conquer. With faith, they can have that victory. The Bible itself, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it gives us a definition of faith. Believing and trusting in what we don't yet see. That is faith. Believing in something that we don't yet see. Something that is, you know, it's not there in front of you. You just believe that you will achieve it. You just believe that you will get there. Believing and trusting in what we don't yet see. We're believing in a God that, there's a lot of passages in the Bible that talks about faith, that you have to believe in God first and foremost. Yes, there are people that believe in something else.
Yeah.
Young people, you can believe in yourself to achieve.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, Kiasi. That part from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the things you hope for, the things unseen, the evidence of the unseen. You know, sometimes we'd like to see the evidence before we believe, the evidence before we start trusting, you know. And faith is built on a principle that says, all right, you've got to trust
in
what you believe. You've got to trust, and without having the evidence, do that. It's like, Kiasi, a practical example is like I'm coming to the studio and I'm sitting on this chair. I'm expecting the chair to hold me, isn't it? I haven't checked that the screws are in place. I haven't checked that the seat is safe for me to sit. I trust that whoever built this knew what he was doing. Faith is built on the same principle. I trust that whoever is holding my hand is leading me in the right path.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, just the normal way of living at home. When you turn on the tap, you should have faith that there's water coming out from the tap. You see? So we should have faith much more with God. Yeah, that He will do everything for our own good.
For our own good, yes.
Thank you.
Love that.
Thank you. There are a lot of stories in the Bible about faith. Oh, ye men of little faith, you know. If your faith is so small like a mustard seed, if you say to this mountain, move, it can. Not physically, but what faith can do.
Yes.
In your life, radio listeners, this morning. Now, if you're listening in, if you want to drop us a line, or if you want to share your story about faith, you can give us a text on 022-322-3364. 022 3224. If you have any stories or if you have any experience of faith that you have, you can almost you can drop us a line if you wish on 0223223364. What faith can do. The Bible says righteous live by faith alone. There's a text that I've been reading that every human being, a created human being, has a measure of faith in them. Now, sometimes we ask that question, do you have faith? And people will say, I don't have any faith. I don't have faith anymore in my life. But the Bible says that Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God gives a measure of faith to each and every one of us. But some faith are so little, some have great faith, but each and every one of us has a measure of faith in us. You know, Radio Listeners may be sitting this morning thinking that I don't have any faith in me. But every person has a measure of faith, according to the Bible.
I like that, Kiasi. Faith is an active action. It is positive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're saying we all got a little measure of faith, that means if we don't get to practice, it's like an athlete. If he expects to win, he's got to practice all the time. If we don't practice our faith, and I'm taking the same example as we had in Rosemary's devotion this morning, if we don't practice it, we'll never get good at it. And we'll never know the joys that it will bring.
Yes, that leads us to that famous text in the Bible. Faith without works is?
Dead.
Dead. So we need to exercise that faith.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't matter how little that faith is. We need to put some thought in that faith. We need to believe first and foremost and then act on it.
Very important. Very important, the action part of it. Mm. Because even trusting God is something active. You know what I'm saying? When we want to grow our faith, we have to be able to tell a story about what God has done. Mm. I've trusted God with something. I've prayed about it, and He delivered me. Without those stories of faith, it's hard for us to grow. Because what happens? We don't get to see the evidence of what we hope in Christ. Mm. Isn't that so?
Yes.
Mm. Do you see how it all comes together? When we don't exercise talking about God's goodness, our faith becomes dead because it becomes buried in self. And we look at it and say, oh, this is circumstantial. Oh, this just happens because. But when we turn our attention to a faith without evidence, and we get to see that evidence after it's something that we've prayed for, we've become better people, or we've become something good has happened in your life, and you recognize that that is what God has blessed me with because I asked for it. It's an active activity of faith.
Faith without work is dead. We have to do that work. We have to do that mahi. New Zealand, if you're listening.
There you go.
Faith without work is dead. We must put that faith into action. Faith alone is not enough. It has to be accompanied by action. Because faith alone is not enough.
No.
Doesn't matter if you have so many faith. You have so many faith in you. But if you don't act on that faith, faith alone is not enough. You have to accompany it by action, going forward, activating that faith.
I love what you just said, and if we miss that, you know, faith is looking forward. It doesn't look back. It doesn't look back at your past experience, but it looks forward. All right? Like something that you hope for. It looks forward and it is active.
There's a passage in the Bible that Jesus talks about, "O ye men of little faith." Does that mean that those people don't have any faith? He acknowledged that they got faith, the disciples, but very little faith. a famous story in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, right down to verse 20. When Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. Now, the story, if I want to cut it short, a man came, bringing his son to Jesus. Lord, have mercy on my son. Verse 15, chapter 17 of Matthew. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he faileth into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you with you? And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 20, and says, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. From the King James Version. So here Jesus talks about faith that can make nothing, faith that makes nothing impossible. Hmm. Their faith must be strengthened by fervent prayer and fasting. Radio listeners, this morning, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, that faith that you've got should be accompanied by prayer. Here it goes beyond that, by fasting as well. A humiliation of heart. They must be emptied of self. Sometimes my self, what shall I say? Self within me that prevented me from activating that faith.
That's right, yeah. Sometimes we put blockers there.
Yes.
You know?
We put barriers.
That's right. And we can't get to see the bigger picture because we are so confined to our own belief.
Mm. The emptying of self. Be filled with the Spirit and power of God. Earnest, persevering supplication to God in faith. Faith that leads to entire dependence upon God. That is faith. Totally depending on the work of God that will come to you. Without relying on self. That is faith. Matthew 8:23, Jesus calms the sea. The disciples, if you know that story, the disciple was sailing along. And how can somebody be sleeping when the sea is rough? The disciple was sailing along and Jesus was sleeping. And all of a sudden, know the story full well, the waves came. And the disciples were losing faith. Little they didn't realize that Jesus was with them. Matthew 8:23. I will read from verse 23 onwards. Jesus calms the storm. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, inasmuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Verse 23, I will read further down. Verse 26 and 27, And Jesus said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. These people were with Jesus. They were with the Master, the Creator. And yet, they still have no faith, or little faith.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they tap on Jesus, he comes the storm and the wind. Radio listeners, this morning, what storm are you facing in your life? You can turn to someone. If you don't believe in the Bible, you can talk to somebody that you trust to give you that comfort, that peace. But what we're here for is Jesus that we need to turn to.
Man, you brought out such a beautiful text, Kiasi. And there's a part in that text that says they feared.
Mm.
They feared. And that is exactly the lesson this morning. without faith, it is fear that would drive us. But with faith, it fuels us, all right, as we look forward. The lesson there is such an important one, because so many times we focus on the things, and we said earlier that faith is a positive. But when we start focusing on the things around us, it drives fear. We start focusing on the negative things, all right? And fear fuels and faith diminishes. We want it the other way around, isn't that so? We want faith to be growing and fear to diminish.
You know, fear is such I think it's a tool of the devil to bring fear into our lives so that we don't have to activate that faith.
That's right.
Fear can bring those barriers between us and God. Fear can build the barrier that can preventing somebody from going forward, believing and trusting in the Word of God in order to activate that faith. Faith comes from hearing God speak to us in His Word.
Mm.
Faith comes from reading the Word of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We can pray and ask God to increase our faith. If you have faith this morning, radio listeners, you can read Luke chapter 17 from verse 1 to 5. That we can actually pray for God to increase that faith.
Yep. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 was exactly that verse you're talking about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing God speak to us in His Word. Exactly the same Romans 10:17. We can pray and ask God to increase our faith. Doesn't matter how little that faith is. Faith and doubt can also exist together.
That's right.
That comes with fear as well. Fear that will bring doubt. Once a doubt is there, you are double-minded. I'm double-minded. That's what can stop us from moving forward, from activating that faith, if the doubt and fear is in front of us, not knowing or thinking of the end result. The moment we start thinking of what will happen, fear can start creeping into my thinking. The moment I start thinking, if I take this path, what will happen? But if we trust in God, He can always increase that measure of faith in us into a much bigger end, fruitful end. Faith is necessary to receive God's salvation. Yes?
Absolutely.
We are justified by faith. Romans 5:1. Acts 26:18, we are also sanctified by faith. We receive Jesus into our lives and become God's children by faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, without faith, God's word does us no good. Real faith shows itself in good works. We believe in creation by faith. The idea that the world happened by itself. But we believe that God, through faith, that He speaks, and the world was formed. That is faith. What is your faith this morning, radio listeners? Is your faith small like a mustard seed? The moment we put that faith into action, it can grow. It can work miracles. It can bring joy into your life and our life. If we exercise that measure of faith in us.
Some of our listeners may be wondering this morning, but how do I do that, Kiasi?
Mm-hmm.
And we reflected a little bit on Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where we said faith comes from hearing. The more you read and reflect on God's promises, the more confident you become to trust His power and His character. The more we exercise, and we were talking about that, doing, You were inviting our listeners this morning, Kiasi, to share some stories of faith. And I'm going to be the first to share a story of faith with you. In the 1980s, I was a young man. And someone had approached my dad and said, "Man, would you like to join a singing group?" And, you know, as all of us, we have big aspirations, but they had this faith, you know, that God is going to bring a blessing through all of this. And they got together as a group. They had no financial backing, Kiasi. And through prayer and blessing people through music, someone had come up to them and said, someone by the name of Richard John Smith, he might be a very popular back in the day in terms of producing, and he offered to back the group for free. As a result of that, they produced an album in the 1980s, and it's a gospel album. And I will play one song from that, if that's okay with you. What a blessing this morning to know that when we lean on Jesus, He can bless us with if we have a little bit of faith, and that can grow the hope. And this is one of those active stories, Kiasi and Rosemary, and to our listeners this morning, that there, through a desire to just serve God, faith was exercised in the doing, and God blessed. And God blessed. The song speaks about us submitting to God and Him cleaning us up so that those little doubts that we spoke about this morning would disappear and faith would grow instead.
Yeah, I love that music. I love that hymn. Search me, O God. So we have to ask God to search ourselves. You know, maybe we are lacking in faith with Him. That's why it says there. You know what does it says on the song? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. And see if there be some wicked in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. And when God does that, we are going to have a big faith on Him.
Amen. Amen. Self is cleaned out and Christ takes over.
Amen. Amen. Hey, the listeners, thank you for tuning in the Early Bird Gospel show this morning. God gives a measure of faith to each and every one of us. Thank you, Modima, for sharing that. Back to our text this morning, as you've read before, Matthew 17:20 and Luke 17:6. It signifies that even a small amount of faith in you, like the tiny mustard seed, can have a powerful impact on our lives. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And Luke 17:6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You know, the mustard seed, despite its small size, so tiny.
That's right.
Known for its potential to grow into a large tree. A little mustard seed, remember, a little mustard seed, or any seed at home that you planted in your garden, and it can grow into a very big, fruitful outcome.
Man, what a beautiful story, Matthew 17, verse 20. Mm. The lessons from that mustard seed and growing faith. This morning when our listeners, if you're hearing this, this verse and how we're unpacking this, maybe you have a challenge this morning. Maybe that challenge could be fear. It could be addictions. It could be broken relationships. It could be something that you're struggling with. And right now, that could be your mountain.
Mm.
Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 reminds us that with faith, those little mountains can be moved out of your way. And you can see the clear path through faith and trust in God. When we persevere, because faith brings perseverance, isn't that so?
That's right.
Yeah. When we focus our attention not on the mountain, but moving forward, what's beyond that, all right? And with perseverance, a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, God will help us get through that.
Mm-hmm. Now, sitting here this morning, if I'm not a believer, just say, for example, if I'm not a believer, how can I start that faith? You know, physically, I have to do some work.
Yes.
Physically, I have to stand and talk to people, search for myself, do some work. You know, if I'm an unbeliever, not believing in anything that I can achieve, well, I have to start to think of myself and try to do something. If I'm a Christian, if you think your faith is not growing, now take a look at yourself. I need to take a look at myself. Why am I not growing?
Mm.
The Word of God is there.
That's right.
Tend to the Word of God first and foremost. Faith comes by hearing, not only hearing, but by studying the Word of God. Maybe that's your first step that you should take as a Christian if you're not growing. Maybe I've been spending a lot of time on something else, a lot of distractions. There are mountains in front of me. Maybe I should refocus and prioritize first and foremost what I need to do in life spiritually in order to grow.
You know, you brought out something so beautiful, Kiasi, where you spoke about when we reflect on God's word. There's a key word that keeps coming up. The more we read, we start trusting this God. And you know, it's like, you know, when the adult stands in the swimming pool and you have your son or daughter or little one running and jumping into your arms, all right? That's trust. They trust that the person in front of them will actually catch them and it won't be harmful to them. And that's what God's trust is like. You've got to trust in what you read, because as you read more, it reflects of God's character. All right? And when we do this, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it says, we understand God's grace. So we trust that what God has done for us through His Son is sufficient for us, and that grows our faith. It also leads us to obedience, because we now become obedient to God's word and to God, and we accept that that eternal life is to benefit us, isn't it? It leads us to obedience. It grows. In fact, it's not just a belief. We were talking about characters of the Bible this morning. Noah was asked to build a ship, an ark. A massive thing. People had never seen rain. Noah had to trust God. He himself has never built something, but God had given him the dimensions. He had to tell a people full of unbelief, who didn't trust in God, to now have faith in a God that says, I will deliver you. We know the story. Eight of them were saved. Isn't that so? Mm-hmm. But that's what faith is. Faith is trusting in a God and trusting in something that I don't yet have the evidence for. And then as we reflect, we see faith in action.
Thank you. You know, faith, just to build on that, faith also can be a matter of life and death in making our everyday decision. As you've said before, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet seen, Noah was moved with fear, prepared the ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. There are a lot of stories in the Bible. By faith, Abraham left his hometown.
That's right.
And go. Where? He just, by faith, leave.
He didn't know where.
Take your animals and your belongings and your servant, just go. So by faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place where he should go after receiving an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he is going. By faith, he sojourned into a land of promise. There are other stories. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departure of the children of Israelites, of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. This morning, radio listeners, we've been reading about the Egyptians. By faith, they act upon it. They were told to slaughter an animal and paint their frame of their doorsteps. So most of them, they were saved that night because they acted on that word. For those that didn't, we know the story full well, that their firstborn was slaughtered that night.
That's right.
You know, faith can be a matter of, if I can put it that way, faith can determine life and death, if I can put it that way. If you act on your faith, it can save you. If you decided not to act on that faith, it can bring consequences, radio listeners. So faith is very important. There are many stories in the Bible regarding faith. Let's listen to the words in this song. Jesus still speaks.
Amen.
Amidst a hustling, clamoring world, it's sometimes hard to hear the voice of God speaking to my soul. But in my quiet time alone, when I approach His holy throne, His tender words fall gently on my ear.
There are so many who still doubt that God can speak today. They laugh and mock when we say we've heard from God. Yet the still small voice of God is heard above the doubters of this world. His timeless words ring out with hope today.
Yes, Jesus still speaks in that small voice. It's a way of saying, why are you so afraid? This is Jesus' words to his disciples on that stormy night at sea. Why are you so afraid? Or why do you doubt? Radio listeners this morning, if you have doubt in your life, that this faith or that faith won't grow, why don't you take a step forward and say a little prayer or start reading God's word? Because that will increase your faith. It indicates that their fear of doubt, this is, I'm talking about the disciples, it indicates that their fear or doubt stemmed from a lack of faith in Jesus' ability to protect them or provide for them. Jesus uses this phrase to teach his disciples about the nature of faith and to encourage them to trust him more fully. It's not always a harsh rebuke, but rather a call to grow in their faith and reliance on him. This phrase emphasizes that faith is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. It doesn't stop. It's an ongoing process of trusting in God. Now, we can't trust God today and have a break for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It is an ongoing process. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So faith should be a continuous, should be a movement, should be a process that is happening every single day. Even when we facing challenges or doubts in our life, it's not just about initial belief, but also about persevering in that belief and relying on God's power and provision.
So it means to say that the faith, it can be your habit then. Not only today, yes. Never mind about tomorrow, I'll do it again in next month. It should be continuous.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, and I think also when a person exercises his faith, it benefits not only himself, but also the people around him. Because they can see the faith on you, and they might be able to practice whatever your faith you got.
That's right.
So one way of witnessing to people to go in front of Jesus to have faith as well.
Faith is more than just believing in something. It's the surrender. And this morning I'm wondering, as we're speaking, what are we surrendering to? Because when we start surrendering our doubts and surrendering our fears, faith becomes the strong. And when we surrender to God, faith is the ultimate tool that will help us grow. Trust and action. Surrender, trust, and action. Let's not wait for the full understanding of something first before we're stepping out. Faith walks first.
Yes.
All right? And then understanding often follows. Sometimes we mix that around. We want to understand something first before we step out in faith. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." So this morning, our listeners, the more we reflect on God's word, the more trust grows, and we can get to trust this God who gave his life for us, knowing full well that he has a better plan for us, and the hope and the trust will be built by faith.
Amen. And also I'd like to say that it says, and the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Thank you, radio listeners. Time is catching up on us. Until we meet again from the Early Bird Gospel Program show this morning, have a wonderful week. Until next week. God bless you all.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.